If you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58. Tonight, my subject is, I choose fasting. I choose fasting. One man said, why do they call it a fast when it's one of the slowest things you'll ever do? But anyway, I choose fasting, and you'll know why after this message. Fasting is not an option if you want to live a life of victory. Fasting is not an option if you want to win the battles of life. When Jesus began his public ministry, he began by prayer and fasting. He did that to set the course for his ministry. And he did that because fasting activates the favor and the power of God. And when you fast, then God sends his delivering power. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness there. He overcame the devil. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, church, can we expect to do the works that Jesus did and to do the greater works that he commissioned us to do if we don't spend time in seasons of prayer and fasting? So as your pastor, every year at the first of the year, I proclaim a 21-day period of prayer and fasting. We started that fast this past Sunday morning, and we're doing a corporate fast, and we'll be going from January the 6th to January 26th. We do that the first of the year, every year, to set the course for the rest of the year. Jesus went into that wilderness. He knew what he was going to face when he came out of that. He went and prayed and fasted to set the course for his entire ministry. So we fast and pray here at Westmoreland at the first of the year, every year, to set the course for the rest of the year. And last year, the word the Lord gave us was restoration. I'm looking at some miracles right now, miracles of restoration. This year, God said, and he stirred in my spirit and whispered to me expectation, that we are to expect more and more from God. And as we give ourselves to prayer and to fasting, we're preparing the ground for that. Amen. Yesterday, we had a corporate day of prayer and fasting for the North Carolina Conference at Falcon, North Carolina, for the North Carolina Conference of the IPHC. And it was initiated by our Bishop, Danny Nelson. We had over 100 people there. We had 9 people that showed up from Westmoreland. Give yourself a big hand. Hallelujah. You're talking about, and we had 2 more that wanted to go and they couldn't go, but they were praying with us. And we had some churches that weren't there. They called and said, we're praying with you. So it was a wonderful day, and some of us haven't come down yet. And Brother Tom's back there still glowing. Hallelujah. Sending me texts telling me what God is talking to him about and what a wonderful day we had. Yes, I appreciate everybody that went. But we were there from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. crying out to God to bless us with his presence and to bless us with an outpouring of his spirit. And we were praying for the entire International Pentecostal Holiness Church. That's where God has placed us. And we were praying for this church and the other churches. And we're praying for churches all around. We want God to pour out his spirit on all the churches. But somebody has got to pray and fast and seek the face of the Lord. Prayer and fasting, it brings God on the scene. And miracles and wonders, they happen when we seek God in this manner. Look at Isaiah 58 and 66. This is God speaking. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? God said, I've chosen a fast for you. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke. God said, if you will fast, I'll loose the bands of wickedness that you're facing. God said, I'll undo those heavy burdens that you're experiencing. God said, I will let the oppressed go free, those that are held captive. And then he said, I will break and destroy the yoke of the enemy from off your neck, from off your family, from off your home. God said, if you'll fast and seek me like that, there are 4 things that I promise you I will do. So my subject tonight is I choose fasting. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for the word. And thank you, Lord, for an impartation of that word tonight. Thank you, God, for for moving on us and making this thing, Lord, that is so hard on our physical body. Help us to understand how to present our bodies to you, that living sacrifice. And help us, God, to move into this thing so we can move in on you in a mighty way. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to give you six situations that you may find yourself in where you need to fast. But before I do that, I want to briefly explain why you should fast. You may be wondering, you may not be wondering why I should fast, but when I should fast. So I'm going to explain that to you. I want to give you two scriptural examples given by Jesus, and I think these will be sufficient right here. First of all, you should fast because Jesus said you should fast. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? See, the John Baptist disciples, they came and asked Jesus, said, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast, Jesus? Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 9:15. Jesus said unto him, Matthew 9:15. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Look at this. But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. That day has already happened. Jesus went to the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. He rose again. He ascended to the highest point in the universe. He sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, Lord High Priest of a new and a better covenant. He cut it with his own blood, and he sent the Holy Ghost to the church to empower us. Hallelujah. And Jesus went into that period of prayer and fasting, and when he came out of there, he had the stamp of God's approval, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire from heaven. He said, if I can get my church operating like that, I'll send that type of anointing upon my people. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, then shall they fast after I'm going back to heaven. So Jesus expects us to fast. And since he expects us to fast, he set the example of when we should fast. And he did that by that period of 40 days of prayer and fasting he did in the wilderness. I had no one teach me to fast. I learned that myself because of the crisis I was in. And I began to see these scriptures, and God began to bring me out, and God began to do some great, great miracles in my life. And you've heard a lot of them, but they all came out of prayer. And I'm still seeing them. We're going to see them. We're expecting to see them because we're doing what God said to do. Let me give you another example where Jesus said we should fast. It's found in Matthew 6:17. Jesus said, but thou, when thou fastest, not if you fast, when you fast, he said, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which seeth in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward you openly. That is one of the reasons that you fast, that you want to see God reward you with answered prayer. You want to see God reward you with great things. And during my period of learning to fast, I found out that not only was God giving me great victories, but as I sought God like that, then I had power from on high to pray for other people. And it'll happen to you too. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe, not the preacher. The preacher should, they should follow the preacher. But he said, these signs follow them that believe. And I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Are you a believer? Then praise God. We're expecting signs and wonders to follow us. We're expecting some great miracles. So prayer coupled with fasting, it intensifies our prayer. Prayer intensified with fasting, it intensifies our prayer. I have a sermon somewhere on the fasting prayer. That is the only thing I know that you can do is where you fast. And for 24 hours, you're saying, God, I'm seeking you. It's a prayer in itself. You don't even have to open your mouth. You're just saying, God, I want you so much, like Job. I want you more than I want my necessary food. I better move on. Hallelujah. Six situations when you should fast. Number one, you should fast when you face an enemy. You should fast when you face an enemy. All of us, we face enemies. Your enemy, it might be your bank account. It could be some bills that have shown up. Sister Scott came up here and she told about how God had moved in a miraculous way. Her enemy was trying to steal from her. And God stepped on the scene. Hallelujah. Your enemy may be a piece of real estate that you cannot sell. You've done everything you can to sell it. Something that you want to get rid of. You finished with it. You want to sell it and get your money out of it. And you need that sale. Your enemy may be a family member or someone else who's trying to harm you. Someone who's trying to destroy something about you. So we know one thing. The real enemy is the devil. And he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And one of the reasons we fast and pray here is because we're serious about what we're doing. We want to see everybody heal. We want to see everybody get their miracle. We want to see everybody, hallelujah, walking in victory with a testimony that says, I was here. It looked like there was no hope, but the church fasted and the church prayed. And I got connected with those people, hallelujah, and they connected me with the Most High God. And Jesus moved in my life and he gave me the miracle. And I'm testifying and telling the world about it. Somebody go and praise God. We got miracles like that sitting in here. Some of you came last year. You weren't a part of this prayer and fasting. But we prayed and we fasted for you. And you stepped right into the middle of what God was doing. And God blessed you. That's what we're about. We're here to be a blessing. Amen. To bless and pray for one another. The question is, how do we as Christians handle our enemies? What can we do to win the victories that we need? Well, here's the answer. When you fast, God will come on the scene and God will fight your enemies for you. I want to give you an example out of the scriptures. I want you to notice that this was a corporate fast. The very thing we're doing. There are times when you just fast by yourself. You don't tell anybody about it. You anoint your head. You just go and you pray and you seek God till you get that release that I fasted enough and now I'm armed and I'm dangerous and I'm ready to go do this thing that God has sent me to do. Hallelujah. Armed and dangerous with the power of God. Dangerous against the devil's kingdom. Amen. Now look at Esther 4 and 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days nor nights. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. If you went before the king and you weren't invited, you could be killed. Look at verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. See, when you have enemies coming against you, here's what will happen if you will fast. There are four main characters in this story. The king of Persia, then there's Mordecai, there's Esther, and there's an evil, wicked man named Haman. Haman had been exalted to a position. And Haman, he hated the Jews, and he used his influence, and he wanted to destroy all of God's covenant people, the Jews. That's what he wanted to do. Now, he demanded that everyone bow down to him because the king had exalted Haman to this position. But there was a man named Mordecai, a Jewish man. He refused to bow down to him. And so Haman came up with a plot to execute this man and to hang him openly. But God showed up one night. People are praying and fasting, okay? Are you with me? God showed up one night, and when the king couldn't sleep, he had the books of records brought out to him so he could read them. Can't sleep, so just well read. And God directed him to read where a man named Mordecai had saved his life and he hadn't told the king about it. And the king asked, what has been done to reward this man named Mordecai? And he was told, nothing's been done, sir. And he asked Haman, he said, what should we do to a man that the king wants to honor? Now, Haman is the wicked man that wants to kill the Jews. So he asked him, he's right, been exalted by the king and walked right into his chamber. He said, what should I do for a man that I want to honor? Now, Haman thought he was the man that the king wanted to honor. So he told the king, he said, well, put him on the king's horse and let him ride down through the street and have people hail him as one that is honored by the king. Well, to Haman's surprise, the king ordered him to do this for Mordecai. Now, Mordecai is the man he wants to hang. And for him to lead that horse. God said, I can make your enemies bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, meanwhile, Mordecai, he had pressed Esther to go before the king on behalf of the Jews. Esther was beautiful, and the king loved her. And when Queen Esther went in before the king, he offered her to grant her any request that she made up to half of his kingdom. I mean, she must have been something else to look at. Well, think about it. I got this beautiful wife, and half of everything I have belongs to her. That's just the way it works. Amen. If you don't believe it, you go to the law and you'll find it out. Some people think it's all mine. No, it isn't. You work together in a family to build a family. But Esther, she told the king of this plot to kill her people, the Jews, and that Haman, the man that he had exalted, was the man that was behind the plot. Well, what did the king do? Look at this. Esther 7:10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Malachi. Then was Mordecai. Yeah. Then was the king pacified. Thank you. So God began to move supernaturally, and God will move supernaturally against your enemies when you begin to fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Push the plate back and say, Father, the battle is not mine. The battle is yours. And I present my body to you. A living sacrifice. I'm giving myself to you like Jesus did in that wilderness experience. He knew the enemies he would face. I'm facing an enemy, God, and I know the battle is not mine. It belongs to you. And you said, having done all to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And if you'll get to that place through prayer and fasting, I promise you will. You won't feel like doing a whole lot yourself, because when you fast like that, you weaken the body. Your body will get weak. And your spirit man will get strong in the Lord and the power's might. Fasting does not move God. Fasting moves us toward God so we can get a greater anointing. So number one, fast when you're faking them. Number two, fast when you need a word from God. Now, when you need to hear from heaven, when you need divine direction, anybody out there that needs a rhema, that needs a word from God, when you need to hear from God, if you will fast, God will give you clear direction. Now, I can show you that from the Bible, but I can also share it with you from my personal experience. I mean, when I came to the Lord, I'd never been taught about fasting, and I'd not known people that fasted. I've heard people talk about people in the Bible that Moses fasted and Daniel fasted and Jesus fasted and Paul fasted and Peter and them fasted. But the church in general did not fast. But I found a power that I needed. And after I learned to fast, I finally got a hold of a good book, Atomic Power with God. And I read that book, and I went on a 10-day fast with nothing but water. I came off that fast. I had a revival up in Henderson. And I was up there preaching. The altar was full of people. The pastor called two people out. One of them was my sister. He said, lay your hands on her. I said, that's my sister. He said, lay your hands on her. I said, that's my real sister. He said, lay your hands on anyway. I reached out and touched. I said, receive the power of God. Knocked her in the floor, speaking in tongues. She's filled with the Holy Ghost when she was 8. I reached out and touched the other lady. I said, receive the power of God. Knocked her in the floor. I took off running. Altar's full. I ran all the way across that church, got to the other side, and turned around, and people were slain everywhere. This young boy that I led to the Lord the night before got up off the floor, tore a cast off of his arm, said, Jesus, save me. Look what Jesus has done. The doctor said, I'd never have the use of my arm again. Look at my arm. Jesus, he tore that place up. Jesus has healed me. And what a wonderful, wonderful miracle we saw. I walked into my parents' church probably four or five years later, and this guy standing at the door, he said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, yeah, I remember you. You're the one that Jesus saved, and then he healed your arm. He said, yeah, look at it. Doctor said I'd never have use of it. I never would have had to work again. He said, I got my arm back, and I'm working. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Prayer and fasting. Amen. When you need a word from God. But Moses is on the mountain now. And I want you to look at how God responds to Moses' fast. Exodus 34:28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat nor drink. Now watch immediately after the fast. And he wrote upon the tables the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He got the Ten Commandments through 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now, he was supernaturally sustained by God. If you go beyond 3 days, you cannot live. Your body must have water. But he was in the presence of God for that period of time, and then God gave him this word. But he was supernaturally. He came off that mountain. His face was glowing the second time, and they couldn't even look on his face. They had to put a veil over his face. So we're going to have some glows around here. Hallelujah. But praise God. I'm telling you that you don't know what God will do, and you don't know what word God will send you if you will fast. But I'll tell you what he did for me. I would fast and I would deny this body, and I had great needs, and God would speak to me. And God kept me from doing things that I would have done if I'd had the strength to do them. But God would talk to me, and he would say, trust me. Let me fight this. And he would show me things and give me visions and dreams. And my life was messed up. But hallelujah. The only person I'd ever seen fast before that, I do remember my mother. She fasted 3 days. There was a squabble going on in the family. And mother fasted 3 days. And she didn't drink water. And she got sick. And she, when she broke that thing, she got her health back. But God answered her prayer. And I remember that from my childhood, that mother did fast like that. But a word, God can give you a word. He can give you a word about your business. He can give you a word about your marriage. He can give you a word about your children. He can tell you exactly what to do, where to go, how to get that help. And when you don't know what to do, get down before God and fast and pray and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And I want you to know that I am so intense about this that I am giving myself, denying myself my necessary food so you will answer my prayer. See, if you'll fast and pray, God will give you a word from the throne. God will speak to you. God will give you direction, and he will give you the peace that you need. You ever been in a situation you just needed peace? God will give you peace and direction when you fast. Not only do you fast when you face an enemy, not only do you fast when you need a word from God, but number three, fast when you cannot handle the pressures of life. We all get to that place. When you reach that place, yet you find it so difficult, the pressures of life are coming on you, and you just feel like, I'm maxed out. I'm doing everything I can. Fast and pray and ask God to help you with those issues. He said, I'll not put more on you than you can understand. Well, do something to move the hand of God and to move yourself closer to God. See, it could come, this pressure could come through the lost loved one that you had. You could wake up one day and the person that meant so much in your life, it could seem like they're no longer there. There's no use to live. Let me tell you something. God is the God of the now. And God's timing is always now. Today, he's not the I was. He's not the I shall be. He's the I am. And God made life for living. And no matter where you are in life, he is the God of this moment. And he wants you to live in this moment, believing that whatever you've lost, he will restore it to you. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit. I was a broken, fragmented man. I'd lost it all. My sister said, how can you be so happy? Don't you know you've lost everything? I said, no, I've lost everything. I've got Jesus. And the spirit of prophecy come over me. I said, you watch God. He's got all of me. I said, you watch God work. She never did figure that, I don't think. She's in heaven now, hallelujah. But God just blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. I just said, he's got all of me. And if you want all that God has for you, let me tell you something. Give God everything that you are. I just said, God, I surrender whatever you want out of me. I'll do it. I'm through with me. Hallelujah. I'll do what you want. And I found out God's plan was so much better for me than the plan that I had. Hallelujah. He's a good God. That's why I like to preach. He's a good God. He loves you and he cares for you. Infinitely concerned about you. How do you get out of that dungeon when the pressures of life are there? You can fast. You can pray your way out of it. Now, look at David. David was God's champion. He was a great leader. He was the king of Israel. You remember what happened to David? He committed adultery. He had a man killed. He thought he had it all covered up. But one day, Naaman the prophet, he walks into his house and he tells him, he said, David, you are an adulterer and you are a murderer. And suddenly, what had happened in secret and David thought he had it hidden, the whole world knew about it. Can you imagine the shame that he had? Can you imagine he's the king and now everybody's whispering about the king and his whole world around him knows. Now David's life is filled with sorrow, is filled with grief. And to bring even greater grief, the prophet said, the child that was born to you in Bathsheba, that was conceived in sin, said that child is going to die. And David, he gets so depressed and so broken, he's all alone. Let me tell you about that child. Under that covenant, there had to be a blood sacrifice. The prophet walks in and says, you're not going to die. Bathsheba's not going to die. But if you were caught in adultery, the man and the woman were put to death. That child died. That child is a type of Christ because Jesus took our sins. He took our place. And that child took David and Bathsheba's place. And so God allowed him to live. God allowed us to live. Hallelujah. We have eternal life because of Jesus and the cross. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Go. Yes, go on, praise him, brother. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a Savior. What a God. What a Father. To send his Son, spared him not, and delivered us all from the cesspool of sin and iniquity, so we could know joy unspeakable that's full of glory. So we could have a home and we could bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we could have a ministry. So we could have an influence in the community and tell people there's a way out of that sin. There is an answer. His name is Jesus. Look at what David did. 2 Samuel 12:16. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted. But the child died. And it broke David's heart. And because he had fasted, he is so broken. His body is weak. He wouldn't eat. When they told him the child is dead, he said, fix me something to eat. His spirit is sensitive to God. And he cries out to God. And he says, oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. And a right spirit, oh God, purge me and cleanse me from my sin and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's a broken man. Fasting brought that brokenness. And when we fast and pray, it will bring us to that place of brokenness to where we can let God mend anything we need. I said we can let God mend anything we need that needs mending. Comes through prayer and fasting. Because he cried out to God, God restored him. I want to tell you something. It does not matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've been. If you will get down and mean business with God and cry out to God, God forgive me, God will turn it around. Hallelujah. You can come out of that hopeless situation if you will cry out to God and mean it. You can come out. I said you can come out. The devil will tell you it's never going to change. But whose report will you believe? I believe God's report. And God said you can come out. And if God said you can come out, there's a way out of that dilemma. There's a way out of that hopeless situation. There's a way out. And Jesus is a way maker. Well, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day he made a way for me when my life was dark and dreary. Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Jesus is a way maker. Glory to God. When should you fast? When you face an enemy. Secondly, when you need a word from God. Thirdly, when you cannot handle the pressures of life. And number four, you should fast when you're in the midst of a crisis. Are you in a crisis? I have a word for you. Acts chapter 27. Paul, he's on a ship with 276 men, 276 souls, and a storm is raging, and it looks like all hope is gone. How many have been there? It looked like all hope is gone. He's in the midst of the storm. It looks like he's never going to get out. Well, when you get out, you're just going to go from person to person and talk and say, woe is me, woe is me. I'm having this problem and that problem. This will never turn around. I tell you, there needs to come a point when you just put your foot down and say, no, devil, this is it. I've got authority and I've got power. And I'm coming against you in the name of Jesus. God said, for this is the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to lift the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. Hallelujah. Tell the devil, I am coming out of this crisis in Jesus' name. This crisis will not overcome me. I'm an overcomer. How could you ever know you're an overcomer if you never had anything to overcome? Hallelujah. I tell the devil every time I hit a crisis, I said, I'm coming out. I overcame you here. I overcame you here. I overcame you here. I overcame you here. He said, you're not going to make it this time. He told me that when I was lying flat on my back and they split my chest open, done quadruple bypass and half of it failed. I said, I'm coming out and I'm coming up in Jesus' name. Here I stand. Hallelujah. Glory. Full of strength. Full of energy. Full of power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boss, talk to the devil. Don't let him out talk you. Talk to him. Send him on his way on down the road. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That needs to come a point. Hallelujah. That you just stand up. You know, after they had fasted for 14 days, Paul got alone with God. And the angel of the Lord came down. And just like my other point, when you need a word from God, he got a word from God. And the angel told Paul, he said, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you except for the ship. He said, the ship's going down. Tell everybody to stay with the ship if they want to be saved. Stay with the ship, the old, good old gospel ship. Hallelujah. If you want blessings on your life, you want to be saved. Look at Acts 27 and 22. Look at what the angel said to him. Angel of the Lord. Look at him. I love this. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm not an angel, but I'm a preacher. My wife's the angel. Hallelujah. She's not that kind of angel. Hallelujah. Can I have a little fun? The angel showed up. 14 days of fasting. Daniel fasted 21, and the angel showed up. I ain't had one show up yet. But that's all right. I've had God show up. Woo! Got the Holy Ghost. I've had God show up. I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall not be any loss of any man's life among you except for the ship. What a promise from God. Through prayer and fasting, getting along with God. He had the whole ship fasting. They were a bunch of heathens. He had them fasting. He did. Go read your Bible. It's right there in the Bible. Amen. And Paul encouraged his fellow passengers when he walked back up there. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. And they all made it. It looked impossible. I mean, that little ship is out there on the sea. It's a great storm. They hadn't seen the sun. They hadn't seen the moon. They hadn't seen the stars for days. It's cracking. It's popping. It's about to break to pieces. It's being tossed to and fro. Have you ever been there? And you've been tossed here and you're tossed there. But God, woo, hallelujah, God sent an angel and God gave him a word. And Paul steps back up there, the apostle, the man of God. And he said, be of good cheer. I exalt you. Be of good cheer. The angel of the Lord stood by me and told me that if you stay with this ship, nobody's going to perish. Some on boards and some on broken pieces. But they all made it. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be teaching tonight. I feel the preach, though. Hallelujah. Glory. Is that all right? Amen. Number five. You should fast when you are being sent on a mission from God. You should fast when you're being sent on a mission from God. Acts 13 and 2. I love this right here. As they ministered to the Lord. Look at this. As they ministered. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I'm fasting. I'm praying. You're sending me on a mission. I need your help. I love you, Lord. I've got a family. They need me, but I need you. I need your help, God. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. See, there's somebody else getting a word from God because they fasted and prayed. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, you fast when you're being sent on a mission for God. There have been so many times in my life that I knew God was sending me to pray for people who had a great need. They needed a great miracle. And I would fast and I would pray. My wife can tell you I fasted for 3 days just to go pray one prayer. And I walked into that place clothed in the glory of God. But God spoke to me and said, I want you to prepare yourself. And I'd learned to fast and pray. And God knew it. So he could talk to me like that. I would seek the Lord through seasons of prayer and fasting to prepare my spirit for that mission. And when God gives you a ministry to sing, or God gives you a ministry to teach Sunday school, then you should seek God with seasons of prayer and fasting. Musicians, you're on a mission from God. Every one of you singers, all the Brother Clark, Brother Tom, all of you that sing and play musical instruments, you're on a mission from God. And when you come before the church to minister, you need to have prepared yourself through seasons of prayer and fasting. Fast for the anointing, because the anointing destroys the yoke. If God gives you an opportunity to go into a prison ministry or a nursing home, don't take it lightly, but fast and pray. We've been trying to find Sister Linda Edwards. I could not find her. And last night, we were fasting. We've been praying since Sunday. Someone called me, said, I was over at the nursing home. And I saw Linda Edwards. I said, you did. What room was she in? And I went over there. I was tired in my body. We've been praying all day, fasting. And I went over there. She was sick. She had just thrown up. And I said, God sent me. And I laid my hand on her and prayed. And I just sat down beside her and visited. In a few minutes, she said, I feel so much better. No more nausea. Isn't God wonderful? I had no idea where he was going to send me. I'm tired, Lord. I'm not the one sending somebody else. My body's tired, Lord. Teresa was out here and you ladies were having a great meeting. She come home so excited. We had 20 people out. 20. I said, that's so wonderful. Amen. And I'm just sitting over there with my shoes off now. It's kicked back, you know. But isn't that wonderful that through that time, God had prepared me And see, I'm preparing myself now, and I want you to prepare yourself for this year. Because I prophesy to you, there are people that are coming. They're going to need our help. They're going to need somebody that can lift that heavy burden. Somebody that has fasted and prayed. Somebody that is anointed of God. And it's all not to be the preacher. That's why I do a corporate fast. It's to be each of us, the body of Christ. All of our giftings flowing together like a mighty river. Blessing the world around us. Give Jesus a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. See, you're on a mission from God. You're on a mission where you work. Right beside you. That person that works with you. That person who curses every other breath. Start fasting for them. Start telling them about Jesus. And watch what God will do. I have people say, oh, pray for me that God will give me another job. The people where I work, they curse and blaspheme God. I said, God has you there for a reason. I can't pray that God will take you out of that. I said, dear Lord, he's got you there to witness. He got you there to pray. So put some fasting with that. Jesus loves everybody. They said, don't you know he's eating with the publicans, the sinners? He loves the sinner. I'm so glad he loves the sinner, aren't you? He loved me when I was yet in my sin. Reached way down in the cesspool of sin and iniquity. And look at me. He said, I choose you. And he laid his hand upon me. Hasha kobushata. He said, I choose you. And I've anointed you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have an anointing. You'll never lose it in Jesus' name. You're on a mission from God. Some of us, you know, have children and grandchildren. About to run you crazy. Have you ever had any of you do you like that? I mean, have you ever tried to figure that? I say, I don't believe like you do. I said, yes, you do. Boy, they didn't know. Dad had pushed the plate away. They knew I was praying for them. But they didn't know I'd pushed the plate away. And I could talk to God. And even though they might be in a long distance away, where I couldn't talk to them, my God could talk to them. And he did. Hallelujah. Oh, look at the miracles he's given us. Thank you, God. See, this church is on a mission from God. And God said, call a solemn assembly and sanctify a fast. That's why every year we start out with a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Brother Clark, when should you fast? Number one, when you face an enemy. Number two, when you need a word from God. Number three, when you cannot handle the pressures of life. Number four, when you're in the midst of a crisis. Number five, when you're on a mission for God. Number six, you're to fast when you're dealing with evil spirits. Jesus fasted when he was facing the devil. And if you're going to deal in the spirit world, then you're going to have to get into the spirit world through prayer and fasting. How do you get there? Pray. Fast. We just looked at Bible examples. Jesus' disciples, he come off the Mount of Transfiguration one day, and they couldn't understand why they could not heal that little boy that was having epileptic fits. And the man comes to Jesus, and he said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus said, how long has it been this way? He said, since he was a little boy. See, the devil wanted to make that man think that his boy's condition was permanent, and that it would never change. Some of the greatest words in the Bible, Jesus said, bring him to me. Don't bring him to those disciples. No, they've already failed. Bring him. Bring her. Bring them to me. And Jesus reached out, touched the little boy, rebuked the devil, it knocked him on the ground. Jesus reached down and picked him up. He was whole. He was healed. And he gave him back to his daddy. That was a happy daddy that walked away from that place. Hallelujah. I tell you, it makes you happy. happy, happy, happy when Jesus does something great like that. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got a whole life full of it. I know you have too. You watch God work. Bring them to Jesus. Jesus said, bring them to me. Look at this right here. Disciples, they said, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it, Jesus? Look at Matthew 9:29. Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. We have to deal with spirits like that. So we have to get into the world of the spirit. God is a spirit. The devil is a spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. That's so we can deal in the spirit realm. I want us to pray for our nation right now. Father, there are evil spirits coming against our nation. And God, we've got a man in our president, Donald Trump. Lord, that he's trying to bring safety and security to this nation. He's done a great job, Lord, of bringing jobs and turning the economy around. He's a businessman, God, and he has a real good, keen idea about what he's doing. And Father, he has an evangelical prayer team around him. And he seeks, Lord, to know your mind through that prayer team that is around him. So we bind the devil. We are fasting and praying. I bind that demon spirit that would try to stop us from building the wall that's needed. There's a wall around Jerusalem. There's a wall around the Capitol there in Washington, D.C. The people that are in that opposing the wall to protect our borders, they've got walls around their complex to protect themselves. And they're a bunch of liars that will not move. Monies have been appropriated since 2006 for that wall. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop a man. And it's a bunch of people, left-wingers, that hate the name of Jesus. And they're trying to stop the church from being the church in America. But God, we're crying out to you. We're praying. We're fasting. We lift our president up. And God, we thank you for moving in a supernatural way. We cannot do what needs to be done. We voted for a man, God, and he won. And there's a bunch of people that they don't want to accept the fact that he won. But he's our president. And God, we need for you to move in a supernatural way and help us. We're crying out just like the people of Israel were down in Egypt crying out. And you sent them a deliverer. You sent Donald Trump, Lord. He's the Cyrus of the 21st century. You sent him there to turn things around in this nation. And we thank you for your supernatural help. God, help the church to rise up in Jesus' name. Brother Claude. Stand. Because he first loved me. Sing it, brother.
Praise the name I love.
I love to hear that name, Jesus.
I love.
I want it to ring through the airways of America on our talk shows, Jesus. I want it to ring through the news media. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Church, we're not going to sit idly by. We're going to fast and pray for this nation too. Glory.
Oh, hallelujah.